Hello and welcome to Health Matters. I am your host and radio health evangelist, Dr. Tony Weaver. We call this the 4138 show. Numbers strangely reminiscent of a certain football score this weekend between two bitter in-state rivals. Obviously a mere coincidence. Those numbers are actually, it's 41 days until January 14th, I believe, or something like that. So that's really where the number came from. But it sure does look like the UK-UofL score as I'm looking at it here on the page.
So where's the 38 again? How's it relate to anything?
That's the number of days till January 11th.
Remind me, what's special about January 11th?
That's the time that it's 3 days till the 14th, man. I mean, come on. Do the math. I don't know.
Some things just don't get old, Tony.
Thanks to our listeners at True Talk Internet Radio. And thanks also and welcome to my co-medical host, Shelley Irving, assistant professor at the University of Kentucky Physician Assistant Program. Hi, Shelley.
Hello.
And also here from the University of Kentucky to tell you about how to access us on the internet, Rick Phillips, Manager Communications Infrastructure at UK. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Tony. You know, audio show, WMKY.org. That's Morehead State Public Radio's website. Yes, Health Matters is in the menu. Yes, you can find a list of all the shows. Yes, the audio is stored there. Yes, you can get a podcast. Now, the fun part is interacting with Health Matters, and that's where you go to facebook.com/HM Radio Show. There you can essentially talk to Health Matters, right? Ask a question, give some feedback, provide a comment. Maybe there's something you want to know a little more about. Maybe there's something that you want us to tell you less about. There's all kinds of ways to interact. You'll find it a Health Matters friendly place to go. Again, facebook.com/HM Radio Show.
Our sponsor for today's show, Christmas decorations, adding warmth and property damage to the holiday season. The Consumer Product Safety Commission estimates that holiday decorating injuries injure more than 15,000, and the peak months for holiday decorating injuries, no surprise, November and December. These numbers go back. I was not able to get newer numbers, but this goes back to the Christmas seasons that ended in December 2012. There were four consecutive years up until 2012 where injuries increased, and we have no reason to believe they have not been increasing since. Although, the little spotlights that spray snowflakes on your garage door are probably much safer to set up than the lights on your gutter that you hang from the roof. There are about 250 injuries a day during the holiday season, says the CPSC. The most frequently reported holiday decorating incidents seen in emergency departments involve falls. That's 34% of people who show up in the ER. Lacerations. I suppose those are from broken lights, tinsel injuries, 11%. And then back strain from lifting and moving the trees and sorting the boxes, that's 10%. 2009 through 2011, that's a three-year period. Fire departments nationwide responded to an average of 200 fires per year, in which Christmas tree was the first item ignited. There were 10 deaths, 20 injuries, $16 million in property loss. Candle-related fires, those same years, 70 deaths, 680 injuries, 308 million dollars in property loss. So clearly the candle is a big problem. We'll give you some tips on how to remain safe during the holiday season in our second and third fractional portions. Our sponsor, Christmas decorations, adding warmth and property damage to the holiday season. We start this segment off. Oh, first of all, I want to talk about the Louisville Cardinals for just a moment.
Do you really? Why do we have to?
Well, not because, first of all, those of you from out of state, they have recently had the higher reputation football team, and they had a Heisman Trophy
candidate. Higher ranked.
Yeah, higher ranked as well. The problem I have with the Louisville Cardinals is that the Cardinal itself, their icon, their mascot, has teeth. The Louisville Cardinal grits its massive white teeth in the Louisville logo.
Would you rather it be tooth?
Well, yeah, the thing was, Cardinals don't have teeth.
Okay.
Yeah. And so apparently their Cardinal didn't look fierce enough, so they added teeth. Now, if you think about it, when you choose a mascot, I think you have to stick with that mascot. For instance, the UK Wildcat would certainly look a lot more dangerous if it had laser beams coming out its eyes or rotating knives instead of a tail. But it doesn't.
It wouldn't look like a wildcat.
No, it wouldn't. You can't add things to your mascot. Colonel. Eastern Kentucky. It doesn't have a sword, a biblical sword coming out of its mouth. It's a colonel. That's all it is. Yeah,
but he carries a sword.
He does.
It's a saber, I believe he calls it.
A human being would do. That's fine. Morehead State University has an eagle. That eagle does not have propellers. It's an eagle.
What about teeth?
No, it doesn't have teeth either. Eagles don't have teeth, and so
it has
claws.
I'm just asking.
I know.
You know so much about this.
I just know that
Are you just mad because they defaced the state bird?
I, I think that if you
you're
have a mascot,
today.
You need to go with that mascot. I mean, if it bothers you, get a better mascot.
But then you lose
can't
a state
put
bird.
Teeth in the mascot. Well, that's the point. If you want to have the state bird, you should have the state bird, but not some monster with teeth that looks like the state bird that could eat your leg. That's all I'm going to say. Just if you
did you
see
even watch the game?
Yes, that's how I saw the mascot again, which got me irritated, which is why I made the 41-38 show. Plus, I'm real happy we won. For those of you who don't follow football, check out that Louisville mascot, though. It's got massive white gritted teeth, and that's wrong. That's just wrong. Okay.
You don't think that there's a chance that maybe, just maybe, you're wrong?
Are you going to show me a Louisville Cardinal without gritted teeth?
No, they have teeth.
Yeah, they have teeth.
The mascot has teeth.
Rick immediately looks at it because the chance to prove me wrong on air is so great.
I think it's just fun
Rick
to talk
right
about.
Now, his computer is right now flipping through images just as fast as a computer can
go.
No,
don't you understand? It's really against the rules to put U of L on my computer. I can't do that.
Okay, so his security system has rejected any Cardinal images on his computer. Fair enough.
I think you're a closet Louisville fan.
I want them to be true to the mascot.
He is wearing red.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was my throwaway day, so I said, okay, I'll put some red shirt on today.
Well, you can wear it after we won.
Yeah.
You can be more masculine, more confident in the wearing of red.
I'm secure in my
Now, I tell you what, say what you will, Tony, we don't typically go down the sports path a lot.
Nope.
But I can't wait for the basketball game. That's going to be even more fun.
This was University of Bath, one of my favorite places anyway, very clean place to work. November 28th, United Kingdom. They're working. Now, I don't usually bring this in, but we mentioned the candles and the burns that they cause. And this is really a dangerous thing and an unnecessarily dangerous thing in this day and age to have these open candles, these open flames throughout your house, many of them unattended. And so they can cause burns. And the interesting thing here was that the researchers at the University of Bath are working on what they call a smart bandage, a bandage which will in fact change color to react to infections developing in the wound. And they made it specifically for burn patients. As it is currently, you have to remove the dressing. You can swab the wound, culture the swabs, and see if you grow an infection. Wouldn't it be nice in situ, with the bandages on, to be able to tell that an infection may be developing without having to go through all that? And it's very painful for the burn victim. So you would not want to change the dressings just to see if there might be an infection there. So it looks like a pretty good idea. And Rick, you know, we've talked a lot about wearables on this show, things that monitor your pulse, your blood pressure, and so forth, the vest, the watch, and also things that could be inserted in under the skin. This makes a lot of sense to me, and I believe we will certainly see an infection-detecting bandage in the very near future.
You think?
Yeah.
Don't you think that's awful expensive to pay for that? Because, I mean, you're going to have to put some kind of a wireless technology in there, right? So which means you got to buy a wireless chip. You have to put a battery. You have to power it.
Yeah.
Really? You don't think that's going to get so...
For burn victims, though, the care of burn victims is already so expensive that the opportunity...
So this is for a very specific group, not something I'm going to see on the shelves at Rite.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see that for a cut finger. But for a person that has extensive burns, this could really be an important thing. And you've got some of these wounds that won't heal. They're very expensive to care for anyway. And getting some information on the status of the wound through the bandage, it could give you a head start in treating and avoid unnecessary antibiotics.
You think it'll heal a wound better on a cardinal?
Cardinals have been badly wounded, haven't they?
I'm pretty sure they have, yes.
Over a fairly large part of their body.
I'm pretty sure they got, it was on public. It was on national TV, I believe.
You're pretty much... I don't know.
You brought it up.
It might even heal a cardinal. Well, the problem is the cardinal would pick the bandage apart with its massive teeth.
Okay, I'll give you that one. You win.
Just thinking about it. Here's the next thing you got to remember for the holidays. Avoid botulism and Clostridium perfringens this holiday season. What we're talking about is the holiday potlucks. This we've reported on before, but we just wanted to remind you, in 2015, April 21st, the Fairfield Medical Center, Fairfield Department of Health, contacted the Ohio Department of Health about a patient suspected of having botulism. Turned out that over the next couple of hours, four more patients arrived. One patient died of respiratory failure due to botulism. Basically, they were paralyzed and unable to breathe. 77 people consumed the potluck food. One-third of them met the definition of botulism. Four of them wound up, as we said, in the hospital. What happened with this? It was the potato salad. Let's just cut right to the chase. It was the potato salad. It was, unfortunately, made with home canned potatoes using a boiling water canner, which did not kill the botulin spores rather than a pressure canner. The potatoes were not heated after removal from the can, which would inactivate the toxin, and basically the combination of a poor preparation and not heating after preparation caused the largest botulism outbreak in the United States in nearly 40 years. We can learn from this, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, we can learn from this that we have to be very careful in potlucks. And we've had this conversation before. Rick, I know that you are not a potato salad potluck guy.
I'm not a cold salad guy.
Right.
So it doesn't matter whether it's potato or otherwise.
And I'll tell you, I am not a complicated food guy. If it has layers and multiple ingredients and it's in a potluck, I'll avoid it. Potato chips, I'm good. A meat that I know how long it's been out, I'm good. Apples, I'll eat an apple.
But an apple pie?
Well, gotcha. See, that's pretty tasty. You got, and it, but it is more complex. But I will not, your rule against cold salads, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, if you got to mix anything, if you require mayonnaise to hold anything together,
you know,
I'm out.
And interesting enough,
yeah.
Mayonnaise was originally thought to have antibacterial properties. It was thought to be the way to make a safe dish was to add mayonnaise because it would kill the bacteria.
Boy, they got that wrong.
They very much got that wrong.
I do believe that's egg-based, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Shelley, you have a big crowd for Christmas.
No, not it's not too bad.
Are you in charge of the food?
I have been. Mm-hmm.
And so nobody brings stuff into your house and says, here, eat this mystery thing.
It's just family.
Okay.
Yeah. there's
and that's really tough, isn't it? When family brings it and you say, Mom, I'm just not. Because I got to tell you, a couple years ago, we were at my mother's house, and they had this wonderful spread of all sorts of foods, and it was there, and we ate lunch, and then it just stayed there and said, how about dinner? And we said, no, thank you. Again, remember Gene Jones' rule. If it's been out of the refrigerator or off the stove more than 2 hours, you should not be messing with it.
Right.
So you get one shot at a potluck meal. You should avoid the complicated foods. Stick with the simple stuff. Try to, as much as you can, know where the foods came from and how they were prepared, and you can avoid some misery this Christmas. I had, about 4 years ago now, a very miserable Christmas, and we believe it was one of these progressive dinners where we ate some complicated stuff at somebody's house that it maybe had been out too long.
Go early, eat, leave early.
We've been on too long ourselves. We're wrapping up our first fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Moorhead State Public Radio. This is our 4138 show. Those are random numbers that have no particular meaning to anyone except a UK football fan. Stay tuned for our second fractional portion.
Hello and welcome back. This is the second fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver.
Who? What? Huh?
It's the botulism toxin. I can't feel my lips. I'm Dr. Tony Weaver, with us also from the University of Kentucky, Physician Assistant Program Assistant Professor Shelley Irving. Hi, Shelley.
Hello.
And this is the 4138 show. A salute to the game of football in general, not to any particular one game where UK humiliated the University of Louisville Cardinals, not at all in any sense. In the manner of true sportsmanship, we won't even bring that up. Those toothless Cardinals unable to generate any offense against that vaunted.
They ran like 500 yards of offense. It's just we had 501.
Well, they also aren't toothless, so I was wrong on both counts. Our sponsor, second time for the show, Christmas decorations adding warmth and property damage to the holiday season, reminding you, 15,000 injuries involving holiday decorating, 250 injuries a day, and fire departments reported. And this is the candle fires. These are the ones that I worry about. 2009 through 2011, 70 deaths, 680 injuries, $308 million in property loss. Here are your holiday decorating tips from Health Matters and from the Consumer Product Safety Commission. First of all, if you're buying a live tree, check for freshness. One of the best things you can do is just tap the tree on the ground, and if the needles fall off, just keep walking. You do not want a dry tree in your house. It will dry out fairly rapidly at home. If you're setting it up, put it away from heat sources and away from fireplaces. Put it away from the fireplace. Do not set up your live tree next to the fireplace. This is, why would you do that?
Don't even set up a fake tree beside the fireplace.
Why not just keep the fireplace clear if you're going to put a fire in it? I mean, if you're not going to put a fire in it, okay.
You can do fake you setting up a tree.
Yeah. Yeah. And then people will think you're setting up a tree when someone's actually setting up on the other side of the. I don't know what that means.
I don't
really.
Either.
That was. That's.
It does require just a little deep thought.
Yeah. It does.
And then you know what happens? You spend all that time thinking about it, and then you get nowhere.
And keep the tree stand filled with water, because after all, water is the substance of life.
Does the cat got your tongue today?
It does. I don't know what's going on. Keep the tree out of the way of foot traffic.
Not the card.
Do not block doorways with a tree. I love that. Well, I'd love to go in the room, but there's a tree in the door. who does this? The interesting thing is, you know, I mean, these rules are there because someone did not follow the rules. Somebody put a tree in the doorway.
Right.
Don't do that. That's cardinal-esque.
But what if you don't like what's on the other side of the tree and you don't want to ever have to get to it?
Well, that's
you
the thing.
You get a whole season that's one of way not to having
settle,
to go there.
That's one way to settle a family argument during the holidays. We're going to put the tree in the door, by the way.
Maybe this tree is the how they solve the whole divorce issue, right? One's on one side, one's on the other. They slide gifts under the...
Touching it. Buying an artificial tree, look for the label fire resistant. Does not mean the tree will not catch fire. It means it's resistant. That's all.
In other words, you're really going to try hard.
Yeah. And here's one, especially I'm sending this to my daughter and my grandchildren. If you're decorating a tree in a home with small children, avoid sharp, weighted, or breakable decorations. They will get to the lower part of the tree. They absolutely will. Avoid things that they might swallow. Avoid things that might fall on them or cut them. It's really nice to have some big plastic or foam decorations for the bottom part of the tree that are safe for small children.
When my son was little, all I did for the tree, we put up a live tree, and I twisted red ribbons all around it. And it was pretty safe. No lights, nothing breakable, nothing he could get in his mouth and swallow.
You went with red ribbons?
I did.
As in cardinal red?
Yeah, I know. It's an odd thing for a UK person to do, but that's, you know, that's fine happens if you want to do that.
Well, that happens during basketball season, so it's okay.
Candles. Keep burning candles within sight. Boy, that is a great, great tip. Do not burn candles in the next room. It's just that simple. Extinguish all candles before you go to bed. Put them in a high, stable place where pets or children cannot knock them over. Lighted candles should be placed away from items that can catch fire, says the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Lighted candles should be placed away from items that can catch fire. You know, and we've got now, they've got some really, really, really nice battery pounder candles. They're completely safe. They look just like the other candle. I mean, you get 5 feet away, you can't tell the difference. They will go for a long time. They will not set anything on fire. My goodness, wouldn't it be nice to have that this Christmas? Lights. I mean, there has been a revolution in lights. If you are still using your 1960s big, hot, burn your fingers lights, we now have these LED lights. They're very bright. They come in all sorts of shapes. And they will not catch things on fire unless they have bad wiring, and check the wiring.
And the odds are they won't break each year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you remember, I mean, those things were in such bad shape. You could only use, you remember, 3 cords of lights? That was the max you could put on any.
Really?
Yeah.
Never read that.
Yeah. Well, not anymore, by golly. Those LED lights, you can put. Just run them end to end. Check for labels. Look for the labels that have been certified for use. Only plug them into a GFI circuit interrupter.
GFCI.
Ground fault circuit interrupter. Thank you. Or a portable GFCI. Again, these are the things that shut off if something bad happens. Very handy to have.
If they sense a fault with the ground, hence the ground fault circuit interrupter.
A couple of other things. In the fireplace, remember you do not have your tree next to the fireplace. Be careful with fire salts. They do have heavy metals. If the kids start eating those brightly colored fire salts, it will be a bad thing. Keep fire salts away from children. And also, don't burn your wrapping paper. That stuff can really light up and light your chimney up, light your house up. You can see it for miles. Not a
good
situation.
Right? You've tested that theory?
I have burned wrapping paper, yes.
Yeah, I knew there was a story there.
But the Consumer Product Safety Commission says don't burn the wrapping paper. I'm willing to go with their opinions on this. That sounds like a very
good idea. You have evidence to support their claims.
Good idea, yeah. No, thankfully, no chimney fire, no house fire, but it burns. Boy, it burns. It burns. Well, we got some good news this holiday season, November 18th, 2016. This was from the Center for Disease Control, the Morbidity Mortality Weekly Report. That is their weekly newsletter, November 18th issue. The potentially preventable deaths caused by the three leading causes of death, heart disease, cancer, and stroke, declined between 2010 and 2014. Now, what happened, actually, more people died of heart disease, cancer, and stroke during that period of time, but that was because our population was expanding. If you look at the percent of people dying from that, it actually dropped. Emphysema and chronic respiratory problems remained steady. Meanwhile, unintentional injuries, and that's mainly drug overdoses, rose over that period of time. Deaths from all five leading causes are highest. The death rates are highest in the Southeast United States. No surprise there. We don't do well with cancer, heart disease, stroke, and drug overdoses in the Southeast. That's just bad news for us. The two-thirds of all deaths come from these three causes, cancer, heart disease, and stroke. So it is very nice to see a decline on those. The cancer death decline, probably prevention, early detection, and treatment. Again, we can prevent a lot of cancers by not doing stupid things like smoking, like being obese. These are fairly simple things to do by not eating large amounts of processed meats. That's a problem as well in terms of colon and rectal cancer. Drops in deaths of heart disease and stroke, mainly due to drop in risk factors. And that is probably the single best thing we've done is we have gotten very serious about controlling blood pressure. We've done a lot of research in the past few years trying to find that ideal number. We're still fighting about it, but the fact that we do now pay more attention to the number than we did before, we don't simply put you on medicine and say, well, that's probably good enough. We are making some progress in those diseases. So good news for that. Now, in that same issue of the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, November 18th, the CDC reported that cancer could surpass heart disease as the leading cause of death among Americans in 2016, when the numbers all come in. I will tell you, in the state of Kentucky, cancer already kills more Kentuckians than heart disease does. Our numbers flipped in 2013. But across the country, heart disease rates are falling faster than cancer rates, and cancer, as we age particularly, and the cancer rates don't fall as fast, we will wind up more people dying of cancer than heart disease. It looks like in 2016, we're looking at around 600,000 and change people die from cancer, 597,000 from heart disease, and so we have reached that point. And that's not a good thing. You know, I think I would rather die of heart disease than cancer.
No other options.
Yeah, if you're the same age, I think heart disease in general would be something that would be easier to die of. And this is arguable. I'm not saying that this is absolutely scientifically proven. I'm just saying I think I'd rather die of heart disease and cancer.
I don't know.
Sounds like a Kobayashi Maru to me.
Whoa.
It's a big word.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, I don't know. I don't believe in that theory. I won't have either.
You won't have either.
No, I shouldn't say that. I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying at age 90. I want option 2C or C. I don't know, Tony. That is an interesting question, but you know, it's kind of gruesome.
I know. I just feel like heart disease is not quite as painful. And here's
but don't you think? I mean, you can I honestly say, and you can back me up on this one, but you're currently probably right now walking around with cancer as a man who's a little bit advanced in his age. Don't you have cancer right now? Isn't there a strong probability that you...
You know, that's really an interesting question.
Because it depends on which cancer you get.
Right. I know what you're talking about. The slow-growing ones. The prostate cancer, you got by the 80s, half of all men have prostate cancer.
Right.
But it's not going anywhere. Now, where does that start? Is there a single cell somewhere in my body right now that has cancer? You know, that's a very disquieting thought. Thanks for ruining my weekend.
Well, so, okay, let's just make it... You're an outdoor guy. You go outdoor all the time. Do you have skin cancer? What if the question was a skin cancer? See, you kind of have to qualify because heart disease is very specific. Cancer could be, I mean, the odds are...
Well, I'll put it this way. Cell somewhere in my body that is thinking about becoming cancerous. I think that I could say.
So what about pancreatic cancer? I've heard that's miserable. Anal cancer is extremely, has some terrible stories associated with it.
Well, name the good cancers. I don't think there are any good cancers.
Prostate?
Prostate because the cure rates are so high.
Skin?
But again, because the cure rates are so high.
All I'm saying is then you have to qualify this with saying we need a bad cure rate versus... I mean, lung cancer, no. Terrible.
No, it's an awful...
But now, say what you will about lung cancer, but how many patients have lung cancer for a long time?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a...
I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying it's a very quick demise.
But it's a gruesome one.
Of course. They're all gruesome, I mean, but...
In their own way.
Yeah, in their own way. And they're heartbreaking and tragic, but, you know, heart disease can be, you know, had and undetected for how long? I mean, I could probably have heart disease for 20 years before anybody tells me you've got heart disease.
No, that's a good point. I still remember a case, a man.
So yes, I agree with you.
With
a
heart transplant, and the way his heart disease was okay. So yeah, you argued yourself right into this.
You told me, you winked at me and said, "Take 2 minutes."
What happened was I pushed the auto argue button on Rick. And he starts fighting with him. So this is a great feature, by the way. And that allows me to put the Christmas tree up in the doorway, and I don't even have to mess with him then. This is all working out
fine. You can rest assured there won't be any presents under, and if there are, it'll be a cardinal.
But let me just say, I did have a case of a person who wound up getting a heart transplant, and he was discovered when he went for a scuba diving instructor's physical.
Nice.
He had no symptoms, but he had this really severe heart disease. Now, that's obviously a rarity, but that does happen. In the same way that people come in and are discovered with metastatic cancer, you know, there are both those diseases can cause no symptoms, but I think cancer, especially with the pain, causes more. Shelley, you specialize really in taking care of older people and people with chronic illnesses. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on heart disease and cancer? Again, we have now the reason that this was prompted. Again, we'll hit that again. Is that it appears in the United States when we tally up the numbers for 2016, we will probably have more Americans die of cancer than heart disease for the first time in our history, I think, and certainly in recent history, I believe in the history of the country.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know which of those I would prefer if I had to choose.
Well, one thing about cancer is expensive. This was November 11th. This came from the Hutchinson Institute. That's the University of Washington's Cancer Center. And there were a couple of people who did an opinion editorial from them. A number of Americans diagnosed with cancer is projected to rise nearly 75% between now and 2030. What's happening is we're good at preventing heart disease or getting better,
right.
And also we're getting older. So that's the 75% rise. According to the National Cancer Institute, between 33 and 80% of cancer survivors use their entire savings on medical expenses.
I believe that.
Yeah, it absolutely it cleans out your bank account. Up to 34% borrow money from family or friends to pay for care. And we've all seen this, the bake sale that goes on for the young person who has some type of leukemia or lymphoma. It breaks your heart to think that you have to have a bake sale to pay for cancer treatment in our country. I remember one of my partners, Yul Scott, felt that this was an embarrassment to our country, that people are having bake sales to pay for leukemia treatment. Bankruptcy rates among cancer survivors, 260% higher than among their peers without cancer. And those who did file for bankruptcy had a 79% higher mortality rate with the same cancer as those who did not file for bankruptcy. In other words, basically, once you run to the end of your finances, it influences your survival, your ability to take treatment and survive.
Do you have cancer insurance?
I do not, and I really detest it. I think you've had some experience with it as well.
Yeah. I actually do have some cancer insurance, but it kind of pays for itself with preventative stuff that I do every year anyway. But people who are interested in cancer insurance, you really need to pay attention to the policies. They vary greatly. Read the fine print. The purpose of them is to complement your health insurance, not to replace it. It should cover gaps in your care. You can't double up on your coverage. It can help reduce medical and non-medical costs of cancer treatment, again, just depending on the policy. A prior diagnosis may make you ineligible for it, though, so be aware of that. Some policies pay a lump sum to you for preventative care, like that's the kind of policy that I have. So for PAPs or mammograms or colonoscopies that are screening, they will reimburse you for that. The policies may be worthwhile if there's a strong family history of cancer, but some health insurance policies have good cancer coverage as well, so you want to be sure and compare the two. Medicare Part B covers 80% of most outpatient treatment for some cancers. So if you've got Medicare Part B, a Medigap plan may be your best choice to pick up the extra 20%. But just be aware of that and read your policies and compare them.
Yeah, you know, the experience I had that made me really upset with cancer insurance policies, I had a person who had lung cancer and who died horrifically of blood coming out their lungs. And the insurance policy said we could not prove conclusively that the blood was coming from the cancer. Something else in the lungs could have bled. And so this family, I sent several letters in trying to convince the insurance company that the cancer caused the bleeding, and that I do not believe they achieved satisfaction. Flip side, my sister-in-law had breast cancer and did wind up getting a payout from that. Keep in mind that the policies that have been sold on the insurance exchange are supposed to pay for screening tests. first dollar anyway. Medicare also for screening tests, I believe. One of the things that they mentioned here in that in an article called Financial Toxicity, they said loss of income plus out-of-pocket costs for transportation, child care, and caregiving, even bigger burdens than the copay. So cancer hits you in a number of ways. It renders you incapacitated, which means that someone else has to drive you. Someone else has to take care of the family. Someone else has to do those things. And those costs can add up even in a person who has adequate insurance coverage for medication or for treatments. The surrounding costs are bad. You mentioned specifically Medicare. This was the Washington Post, November 23rd. Johns Hopkins University found that Medicare beneficiaries without any other coverage paid about $8,000 or about a quarter of their income in out-of-pocket costs after a cancer diagnosis. Hospitalization, a major factor. It looked like these financial burdens, one of the person at the University of Chicago, an expert, said that can lead to patients to delay or abandon treatment. I'll tell you, if I am going through my bank account, depleting the funds that I intended to leave for my family, for my wife, for my children, I probably am going to end treatment early because I spent my entire life trying to provide for them. And if this cancer and the treatment for the cancer takes it away, whether you're robbed by an oncologist or robbed by a person holding a gun, either way, you wind up unable to support your family. And I believe I would reconsider my treatment if I thought it would impact my family after I was gone. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a fun segment, Rick.
Hey, yeah, it's all you. It's all you.
So we start off talking with about where you should put your Christmas tree if you're divorced, which I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that, Rick.
No, it's the best place if you're divorced.
You just stick it in the doorway, and you have your half of the house, and she has her.
I mean, think about it. The UPS guy shows up. He puts a package under. You go to Christmas. You got all your packages.
Yeah, and so I got my side of the tree, and you got your side of the tree.
Well, there's that. That's if you put it indoors.
At any rate, and then we end up, we're talking about a very serious problem, and not going to get any better unless we can get a handle on drug costs. But even if we're able to handle the drug costs, there are so many costs associated with having cancer. Cancer is becoming much more common, much more prevalent as we all get older. This is something that I think all of us have to think about. What are we going to do? How are we going to manage these costs? Meanwhile, we're going to manage a break and come back with our third and final fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio.
Hello and welcome back. This is the third and final fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I wasn't sure. You seem to hesitate for a moment, the self-identification. You're still in your conundrum
I
from
thought
last
about
time.
Making some kind of reference to red shirts or cardinals or right. Funny teeth, but I decided against it.
And here on the other side of the Christmas tree, I'm Dr. Tony Wheeler. And somehow,
does
right
that make
in
Shelley
the
Christmas tree?
Next to the fireplace from the University of Kentucky Physician Assistant Program is Shelley Irving. Hi, Shelley.
Hello.
This is the 4138 show. Our our salute to numerology.
To losers. Right?
to
winners.
To toothy cardinals. We'll put it that way. Our sponsor for the final
time.
We
usually don't go there. That's bad. We usually don't go there.
That mascot annoys me. There's nothing to do
so
with
you,
a football
when you look
team.
At that mascot, do you get angry and growl
I
back?
I do. I just think to myself, that's not a cardinal. I've never seen a cardinal grit its teeth.
Yeah, but you're snarling.
Well, I can grit my teeth. I'm a human being. I can't shoot lasers out my eyeballs.
That we know of.
No, I'm pretty sure. Haven't been able to do it so far. Believe me, if I could, your hair would be singed right now.
I'd have a different form of cancer.
That's right. I'd set the Christmas tree on fire at least. And speaking of that, our sponsor, Christmas Decorations, adding warmth and property damage to the holiday season. And again, let's go through this one more time. 250 injuries a day during the holiday season. Most frequently reported injuries, falls 34%, lacerations 11%, back strains 10%. And fire departments reported 200 fires in which the Christmas tree was the first item ignited over a three-year period, 10 deaths and $16 million. But if you look at candle fires, 70 deaths and $308 million in property loss. So please do not leave those unattended, very, very fine bay-scented pine-type candles burning where you can't see them. There's just no reason to do that anymore. If you have to put fumes in your bathroom, Then get one of those battery-powered things. Get the battery-powered candles. Keep the candles where you can see them. Don't put them in another room. Here's our tips from the Consumer Product Safety Commission. If you're buying a live tree, check for freshness, especially the best thing is if this tree is dropping needles already, it should not go in your home. Setting up a tree at home, why not put it on Rick's side of the bed?
Why would you put it on the bed? Couldn't we put it in the doorway?
Because that's safe. It's not going to catch fire
but
on your side of the bed.
But then you can only have a four-foot tree or a five-foot tree. You can't do the full 8 foot.
Oh, you could put a huge tree on your side of the bed. I'm sure it might stick out a little bit, but that's okay. It works well for me.
You're mean.
Do not put it next to the fireplace. Do not put it over a vent or a radiator because it will dry it out. Don't put it in the doorway unless you and your spouse are having issues. Buying an artificial tree, look for the label. Fire resistant. If you have small children, I really like Shelley's idea. Ribbons, the type of decorations, plush decorations, things that would not get not choke the child, not gut the child. Don't put those really fancy glass ornaments down around the bottom of the tree. You're just going to regret that. Candles, keep them within sight. Keep them on a stable, heat-resistant surface. Or better yet, get a battery-powered, candle-esque, candelabra thing, whatever. So that you don't have to risk fires. They're very, very realistic these days. For lights, use lights that have been tested. Check each set. Look for fraying of the wires. Check your extension cords. Check the outdoor lights for labels. And we recommend the outdoor lights be run through a ground fault circuit interrupter protected receptacle or portable system. Fireplaces, be careful with fire salts. They do have heavy metals in them. If the kids eat these brightly colored fire salts, you're on your way to the emergency room. And then finally, do not burn wrappers in the fireplace. Goodness knows what might happen if you did that, but I bet you'd have a pretty darn big fire. All right, we're talking now. We've been talking about the costs of drugs and just wanted to put in a word about adverse drug reactions. This was November 22nd, and again, it's also from the CDC, published in the November 22nd issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association. Even though the folks at the CDC specifically excluded emergency room visits for drug withdrawal or for intentional overdoses, there are still 1.3 million ER visits for reactions to drugs prescribed appropriately, but having a reaction back in 2005, 2006. 1.3 million ER visits per year. There are currently 1.3, and that's a 10% increase from 2005-2006. So as we prescribe more medications, we're having more problems. And I wanted people to be aware, among older adults, ages 65 years or older, two-thirds of all emergency room visits for adverse drug reactions come from blood thinners, medicines for diabetes, and narcotics. Let me say that again. Of all the ER visits for drug toxicity in people over age 65, blood thinners, particularly the drug called Coumadin or Warfarin, medicines for diabetes, and narcotics were the cause of the ED visit. Now, narcotics, the problem there is they affect your breathing. And even if you take them as directed, if you mix them with other drugs or alcohol, you can get an unexpectedly high level of narcotics in your system and wind up in the emergency room. Diabetes agents, it's very simple. They make your sugar go too low. And this happens if you don't eat properly while you're taking them, or again, if there's a drug interaction. And the blood thinners, they make you bleed.
Yeah. And there are a lot of drug interactions with the warfarin that people may not realize or may forget about. If you're taking warfarin or Coumadin, you do not need to take supplements like garlic, ginkgo, St. John's wort, coenzyme Q10, ginseng, ibuprofen, naproxen, those sorts of medicines. Tylenol, you need to be cautious with Tylenol.
You know, a lot of people think Tylenol, and it does have a pretty good safety profile. It can cause liver toxicity in high doses, and there is an interaction with the blood thinner warfarin that I frankly was unaware of until a few years ago, and it is significant.
Yeah. Other things would be cranberry, echinacea, golden seal. And then vitamin K, I think people commonly know to stay away from the leafy green vegetables, but there are some vegetable oils that are also high in vitamin K. And then remember, if you're going to an urgent care or an emergency department, let them know that you're taking a warfarin or Coumadin, because there are several antibiotics that just don't play well with the Coumadin.
Yeah, particularly there's one called Bactrim or Septra that is just, it should not even be prescribed with warfarin. It is so bad. Now, Rick, that means that the old ginkgo echinacea stuff that you're so fond of, you start taking warfarin and you do that, then you could just puff up like a big bloody balloon. It would be
so I guess I'll have to make sure I stay off the blood thinners.
Yeah, that's a good point. Avoid them if you can. If you need them,
do I get that with heart disease?
Yeah, irregular heartbeats, something called atrial fibrillation, probably one of the most common reasons people are on them long term. Obviously, if you have a blood clot in your leg or a blood clot in your lung, you will take them at least short term. But the interactions are formidable, and keep in mind, this is one of the top three. As a matter of fact, it is the king of the top three reasons that you might wind up in an emergency room taking a medicine as prescribed, exactly the way your doctor told you, but having an adverse reaction to it. Warfarin's king of that, and as Shelley mentioned, a lot of interactions with things you don't think about. Over-the-counter pain medicines, over-the-counter supplements, and as you mentioned, if your diet changes, the leafy green vegetables knock your blood clotting time down, make your blood actually a little thicker. But if you change your diet dramatically, you decide to, for Christmas, you're going to eat those little Christmas crackers.
Have you a Christmas cardinal?
And then you wind up, you wind up red. You wind up cardinal red.
Well, in Kentucky, don't do that because it's a state bird and you could get in a lot of trouble. So don't do that.
It was just a joke. Wait, if you eat the state bird, you get in trouble?
I think if you kill the state bird, you get in trouble.
Well, if it has teeth, it's probably okay.
Because that is some kind of genetic mutant cardinal that really does not need to be loose in nature.
You probably ought to take a selfie with it to make sure you can see the teeth.
I don't know. I'm just fascinated by the idea that if you kill the state bird, that's really interesting.
I don't know that. I mean, I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I've always heard you can't kill like a blue jay or a robin or something like that. I mean, so I would assume a cardinal is also on some rule like that.
Well, there's a lot of cats that are in trouble. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they don't usually fall under the same statutes that we do.
Okay.
Boys with slingshots.
Yeah, boys with slingshots. I was thinking, but okay. I'll take your word for it. But we tend to digress here a little bit.
What do you mean tend to?
Yeah.
We get downright with it.
Yeah. The point is, and remember these three drugs, blood thinners.
See, I was trying to get off the
diabetes,
drugs thing.
Narcotic medicines. These will put you in the emergency room. And as Shelley mentioned, there are a lot of interactions of Coumadin. Do not make major changes in your diet or add herbal products or vitamins. You usually think herbal products, vitamins, no big deal. In the case of a person who's on that particular blood thinner medicine, and Shelley, by the way, I really hope that you know there are some new blood thinner medicines that are more expensive. It looks like the early studies, they may be a little bit safer, and I hope we will continue to work for a safer blood thinner because the warfarin is just a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A very dangerous mess. Next up, got a little bit of time left, and I want to hit a couple of topics. First of all, and this is really interesting to me. You may remember, Rick, when there's somebody advertises something on TV, and they say the FDA has not evaluated these comments. This product is not intended to diagnose, to treat, or prevent any disease.
Or cure.
And then they go through, and they describe a product which is both either preventing or curing some common disease. It sounds very much like they're making a claim that it's curing it. But
no, you listen to the disclaimer. They're not.
But yeah, I know. And they say, look, we're saying all this stuff, but the FDA's not evaluated our comments. This product's not evaluated by the FDA. Well, the Federal Trade Commission said, okay, enough is enough. And they have announced their intent to pursue the manufacturers of over-the-counter homeopathy remedies who can't back up their claims with scientific evidence. First of all, recognize what homeopathy is. This is goes back to the 1700s. If you have a disease, you can treat it with minute doses of substance that produce similar symptoms to the disease if they were given in larger doses. So what you do is you take the thing that might cause the disease or cause the symptoms, you dilute it out, so dilute that you dilute it out a millionfold, and you give it, and apparently that helps the body react and adjust to this disease. This is the theory of homeopathy. Most of those remedies are so diluted, we don't have the tools to measure whether they have any active ingredients at all in them. You may tell, I am similar to a Christmas tree in the doorway. I am skeptical of the utility of homeopathy. The FDA has allowed homeopathic remedies to be marketed over the counter without any proof that they're effective or they're safe. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, says, okay, FDA, if you're not going to regulate these things, we're going to at least regulate the advertising. So on November 15th, the FTC issued a new policy statement, which it says it will hold the efficacy and safety claims for homeopathic drugs to the same standard as other products making similar claims. Under the new policy, making the case for efficacy based on traditional theories without any modern scientific evidence would amount to a misleading claim that would be illegal. So what they say is, well, look, we all know homeopathy works, which we don't, but they say it does. So this is a homeopathic preparation. So this, therefore, works because homeopathy works. This is a $1 billion business in the United States. So I'm hats off to the FTC. The problem with the FDA is they simply don't have the money to regulate these products. And so they allow these things. And the other thing is there's been intense political pressure from certain parts of the country where a lot of over-the-counter products are made to avoid FDA regulation because they know darn well. Do you remember head-on applied directly to the forehead for headaches? It was ridiculous. It was absolutely absurd, but it was able to make some claims. It was able to get through advertisement. And then, of course, there were all these products that are supposed to increase, enhance male sexuality and things like that. Which have nothing in them that does much of anything. The FDA ignores them because they don't have the money to go after them. The FTC says, okay, well, you may ignore them, but we're going to certainly go after their claims, and they have to show some scientific evidence. Next up, this was the Journal of the American Heart Association, and this was back in September, but it got republished, and I thought we should mention it. We've been talking about how much healthcare costs. According to the Journal of the American Heart Association, September 14th, a study found that you could save up to $2,500 a year in healthcare costs if you exercise 30 minutes a day.
I would agree with that.
So the point is, if you're thinking about saving up for your retirement, you could say, all right, I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to commute to Cincinnati or wherever is a long distance from you, wherever you're listening to our show from. I'm going to do that commute. I'm going to earn an extra $2,500 a day. Or $2,500 a year doing that commute, or I'm going to exercise. I will feel better, and I will, over my lifetime, save $2,500 a year because I am less likely to have problems with blood pressure, with heart disease, and with other conditions.
So, like any good math problem, that's not entirely true, Tony. So, that $2,500 is averaged over the course of a person's life.
I'm sorry, what is that I'm hearing from the other side of the Christmas tree? Somebody, a skeptic?
Yeah. Average. So when you're 70, that number is going to go up. When you're 55, that number is going to be lower. And so, yeah, okay, great. So I'm going to drive every day to Cincinnati so that I can save 80 cents or $800. And then when I'm 70, I won't be able to drive to Cincinnati to save the $2,500 I need. Isn't that right? Am I reading that right?
You've gotten just incredibly obtuse this show. I frankly,
at least I'm incredible. That's the nicest thing you've
like
said about me.
No, you're just a strained credulity here.
No, I'm just saying some of these things can't be put into a nice, neat little analogy.
Point. And the other thing is they are extrapolations.
Right.
Yeah. My point.
It's true, though. You need to be healthy. There's a reason we exercise.
Yeah. And I think when you're thinking about a retirement strategy, one of the things you got to think about with your retirement strategy is we just talked about how healthcare expenses can absolutely wipe you and your family out.
Right.
And so if you can avoid or postpone those expenses, that's going to be a lot of money back in your pocket.
Absolutely.
So maybe it's not $2,500 a year.
And less misery.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're thinking about, well, I think I would like this job. It will pay better. I'll be able to set aside more money for retirement quicker by doing this job. But this job involves a level of business that you're not able.
A lack of exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to be able to do the 30 minutes a day. Then at that point, you got to ask yourself, you know, am I, in fact, moving forward into my retirement with more money? Or, in fact, am I moving backwards?
And that's all I wanted you to say.
Okay.
Mr. Incredible.
Okay. Meanwhile, we need to get off the air.
Special thanks to our Morehead State Public Radio producer, Brian Courtney, and to Eric Brewer, who wrote our Health Matters theme song, and to you, our loyal radio fans. Remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to the show, go to WMKY.org. or visit us on Facebook. Just do a search for HM Radio Show.
For our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHEC, thanks for listening to our show. And remember,
Health Matters is a safe, gentle, and natural system of healing that works with your body to relieve symptoms, restore itself, and improve your overall health.
We are extremely safe to listen
extremely.
To, even with very small children and pets, and we have none of the side effects of many traditional medications.
Our show is very affordable. It's made from natural substances and is FDA regulated, although it's about to be more FDA regulated.
Our shows, known as remedies, are made from plants and minerals and are environmentally friendly and cruelty-free.
Not really.
I don't know what that means. Most are available over-the-counter in grocery stores, drug stores, health food stores, and online.
They are also extremely affordable. I mean, didn't I say they were very affordable? Health Matters remedies, when used as directed, are completely safe for everyone, including pregnant and nursing women, infants, children, and adults, which is repetitive. Yeah, that's kind of a little bit redundant.
Pretty much.
They are given in such small doses that they don't cause side effects.
One thing to note is that the word Health Matters is not a general or umbrella term that describes a variety of different natural therapies and radio shows. Although Health Matters remedies are derived from natural substances, we should not be confused with herbal radio shows, Chinese radio shows, or other types of natural radio shows. Our show is its own unique therapeutic system. Yes, it is.
Anyone can learn to treat simple conditions safely at home using Health Matters, but a professional should treat serious or life-threatening conditions.
Whatever you do, do not take Health Matters lying down. Remember these words from a homeopathy website. Get out this week, make a healthy change in your life. Tune in next week for more vague and misleading health information from Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio.